Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 203. And today we're doing something just a little bit different. I'm very excited to have on the show today Stefan Zed, or if you live in America, you might say Stefan Z. He goes by either name. But because I'm English and he's English, we're going by Stefan Zed today. And Stefan has the website howtolucid.com. That's how to lucid, all one word, howtolucid.com. So, of course, straight away you know that he is an expert in lucid dreaming. And quite a few people have been asking me to cover lucid dreaming on the show, and I knew of Stefan's work, and I admire the work that he does, both through his website and his trainings that he offers, and he also has a lovely YouTube channel, and I'll give you the website links for those shortly. So Stefan is on the show, and the first half of the show, Stefan takes the floor to help you to understand, first of all, what a lucid dream is and what it's like for those of you that haven't had a lucid dream. I know many of you will have had a lucid dream, but probably most of you haven't. So he'll explain what a lucid dream is and how it can feel. And then he's going to take you through the 4 points that you can follow to probably get a lucid dream within a month. So there are 4 very practical things that you can do to encourage the likelihood of you having a lucid dream pretty soon. He's a very engaging speaker. I know you're thoroughly going to enjoy it. And then we talk about a few other things, and we talk about the benefits of lucid dreaming and whether we should maybe not be reaching out to lucid dream too much, the pros and cons. Have a lovely chat about all of that. And then because he is also a guest on the show, towards the end, Stefan brings one of his own non-lucid dreams on for interpretation, and we go there. So I know you're going to love this because we've just finished recording it and here I am putting the beginning of the show on. But just before we go there, a few website links. First, my own, janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And that's where you go to listen to every podcast of The Dream Show we've ever made. You can also always listen to the last 10 on iTunes. Or you can find me on social media, primarily Facebook and Instagram. Now, Stefan's addresses, I've already given howtolucid.com. That's howtolucid, all one word. And there are 2 short website addresses I'm going to give you for him. The first one is to his training, which is a 30-day boot camp, which he'll tell you about as you listen. But the URL for that is howtolucid.com/bootcamp. And the other one is where to go if you want to enjoy some of his YouTube videos, and that is howtolucid.com/YouTube. Nice and easy. But now on to the exciting stuff. Hello, Stefan. Welcome to The Dream Show.
Hi. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's lovely to have you, and I know that you're in the UK at the moment, so you're in your very early morning, and we're at the end of our day. And which part of the UK are you in, actually?
I'm on the south coast in just near Chichester.
Oh, that's not far from where I was born. I was born in Portsmouth. I was born in Portsmouth, so just down the road, sort of. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, small world, even though we're a whole globe apart at the moment. and have a whole globe full of listeners listening in as well while we reminisce here. Stefan, it's so lovely to have you on the show to talk about lucid dreaming. So I know that many of our listeners will have had lucid dreams, but probably most of our listeners have not. So would you like to begin by just helping our listeners to understand what a lucid dream is and how exciting they can be?
Yeah, of course. Okay, so where do I start? So a lucid dream is a dream in which you're aware that you're dreaming. So it feels like you've sort of woken up in a new world and you're able to control that world. So if you imagine a normal dream and you're walking down the road and then suddenly you look down at your hands and you realize that something feels a bit strange, you've probably had, you know, as you said, some of your listeners have had this this type of dream before. You look down at your hands, you realize something's strange. And then from that point on, you sort of look around and you realize, oh, it's a dream. I'm dreaming right now. And then from that point on, you're what's called lucid, which means clear or aware. And that just basically means that you can control the dream to some degree. You can direct what you do in the dream. You can, for example, manifest dream characters, change the dream scene. Really, really sort of do anything and experience anything that you want.
So quite an open slate of opportunity. And the first time, did you, when you first had a lucid dream, Stefan, did you stumble upon it, or was it something that you really tried hard to have?
So it's kind of a funny story. The way I first had my lucid dream was, as a kid, I was quite badly behaved. So I got confined to my room one day. And obviously it was the middle of the day. I had, you know, I didn't have a laptop at the time. I was a young kid. So I was very bored, as you can imagine. I had a lot of energy, but I was still very bored because I was stuck in my room. So what I did is there were bunk beds in the room at the time. I think I was in the top bunk bed, and I just sort of had a nap because there was nothing else to do. I just literally just fell asleep because I was trying to pass the time until I could, you know, leave my room and go downstairs and play on the Xbox or whatever it was. So I had a nap, and then because I was so bored and I had this sort of mental energy to do something, I just accidentally, sort of without knowing even what it was at the time, I just accidentally had a lucid dream. And I woke up after a few seconds, as most beginners do, and I sort of panicked and freaked out, and I ran downstairs and I said, you know, "Mom, what's going on? I just had this dreaming experience that I was in a different place, but I was awake." It was very hard to explain as a young kid as well.
Yes.
As you can imagine. And that's pretty much what sparked it all, I guess, Jane. I sort of, from that point on, I was fascinated with this idea that you could have a new, you know, experience a new world essentially in your mind every single night.
Yes.
And so from then on, I just learned everything I could about it. I'd read books, I'd take courses, up until sort of where I am now, where I'm teaching people how to do it through videos and ebooks and that sort of thing.
And you do it very, very well. It's beautiful work. So would you like to take our listeners through some tips? I know it will take, you know, we could spend hours to really get this across. And I know that you do have courses, which we'll talk about later, to do that. But if you just give them some beginner's tips right now, that would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, of course. So what I'll do is there are four main points that I'd like to sort of go through. But please feel free, if you want to interrupt me at any point to ask, you know, a question to refine something.
Yes.
Just please do, because that would be really helpful, I think, to your listeners if something isn't as clear as I expect it to be in my head, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Cool. So the first thing I would say, and I'm pretty sure you guys would agree with me on this, is that they should write their dreams down in some sort of journal. So dream journaling is a very simple way of starting to have lucid dreams, even accidentally, because when you start recording your dreams, you're telling your subconscious mind that you want to remember them and you want to be sort of involved in that process more. A lot of people, especially in today's society, you know, dreams are not sort of cast aside as something not as important as they should be.
Yes.
People sort of ignore them. Maybe sometimes you'll wake up and you'll think, "Oh, that was an interesting dream," but then that's the most thought you give to that dream. So yeah, going back to it, people should dream journal, as in write their dreams down every single morning. Even if you can't remember your dreams at first, you should still write something in the journal entry for that day. So what that would look like is, say if tomorrow morning you couldn't remember any dreams, you would still write the date and you would then write "no dreams recalled." And what that does is that, again, tells your subconscious mind that you want to remember dreams. And then so that the next morning, you're more likely to remember them because you've already sort of put that seed in your subconscious mind that in the morning you'll be trying to remember your dreams.
Yes, beautiful advice.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's sort of like a muscle, isn't it? When you start to remember your dreams more, it becomes easier, and it's sort of like a positive cycle or a loop, I guess you can say.
Yes, yes. We you're right. We do suggest to everybody that's interested just on a dream interpretation level to go through exactly the same process, because it programs you to start to remember your dreams because you're honouring them. It's a beautiful process.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is something we could talk about later as well, is there are a lot of connections between lucid dreaming and obviously dream interpretation, because with lucid dreaming, you're right in the middle of the process and you can sort of interact with the dream characters directly.
Yes, exciting.
we'll get into that in a
yeah.
minute.
Hold my horses.
So, just one more thing with the dream journaling. I think it's important, especially for lucid dreaming, to write down not only what happened in the dream, but what happened either side of it. So with lucid dreaming, as I'll get into in a minute, there are various techniques and exercises you can do. There are also supplements you can take as well. So I think it's quite important, alongside your dream journal entries, to write down things like what techniques you used or what techniques you tried, what supplements you tried, if any. Obviously, you don't have to. And sort of a very brief background of what you did that day. Like, you know, did you meditate for slightly longer than usual? Did you, were you more aware of yourself in the day? Did anything weird happen? These are all things that you can look back on, like dream signs, and sort of realize, oh, okay, that it affected my dreams in this way.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think that's the first step. That would be the dream journaling step, I would say. The second thing is something which a lot of people do anyway these days. It's becoming more and more popular, and that is to meditate every morning. People meditate all around the world for a variety of reasons, and there are different types of, you know, meditation you can do. But in this context, all I'm really saying is meditation should be a sort of awareness of yourself. So I do a really simple meditation every morning where I just set a timer on my phone for 5 to 10 minutes, and I'll just count my breaths up until 10. So it's a very simple technique. It doesn't involve any research or anything like that. You just literally count, you know, one with the in-breath and then two with the out-breath. And you don't try and control your breathing in any way. You just sort of breathe at a speed that's comfortable for you. Mm. Count your breaths up to 10 and then start again at 1 again. And then this just sort of brings your awareness back, and it helps you enter the state which is necessary for lucid dreaming. It also sets you up for the day and helps yes. get rid of that chatter in the back of your mind. So that's a very simple one just for the mornings. That's step two. And then we're getting through these quite quickly, actually. As I said, the basics are, fairly basic.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. So the third one is to do reality checks. So for those who don't know about reality checks, they are basically where you test your reality and ask yourself, am I dreaming? And you can combine this with a physical action. And this might take a few minutes to explain, because it's quite a, I'd say this is probably the most complicated of the steps. So the important thing to do is, when you're asking yourself, am I dreaming? What you're doing is you're planting a seed in your subconscious mind, so that when you have a dream later, you'll remember that and you'll subconsciously ask yourself, am I dreaming, while you're already in the dream?
Yes.
So an important thing to realize is that, you know, the things we experience during our waking life, during the day, are often mirrored in the dream. So say if you always have the same commute to work, usually you'll dream about that commute, because it sort of echoes what you do in waking life.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout the day, you constantly, and I mean sort of 20 or 30 times a day, if you constantly ask yourself, am I dreaming? Eventually it's going to show up in your dream, and you're going to ask yourself that question while you're dreaming. And that's really the goal here, is to get yourself to ask yourself the critical question while you're already dreaming.
What tips do you give around that, Stefan? You know, do you suggest that people set an alarm so that every time the alarm goes off, they say, am I dreaming? Or to look for certain cues, or always be in the same place? How do you advise them to really sort of hit that 30 or 40 times a day of asking that question?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, you can use a phone alarm. You can do it every hour or every half hour, whichever's easiest for you. What I've actually recently just, you know, sort of a couple of days ago done, is I've had a few stickers produced which just say, literally, are you dreaming?
Ah.
And the idea is I send them to people and they can stick them around their house, maybe on door frames that they most often go through, or on the bathroom mirror, something like that. But really, any way you can remind yourself to ask yourself the question will work for you. You know, maybe it's a phone background screen, or maybe it's a post-it note, or as you said, a phone alarm.
Yes.
These would all.
Excellent.
So going back to the reality checks. So the idea is you ask yourself the question, am I dreaming? But that's not the whole story. You need to combine that with the test, which is the physical action. So an example of this would be, if you were to hold out your hands in front of you and try and push one finger through the palm of the other hand. And what will happen is, obviously, in waking life while you're awake, the finger will never go through.
Mm.
Unless you're human, you've got superhuman strength or something, the finger will always feel the same when you try and push it through your palm. There'll always be that resistance, and it will never go through. No matter how hard, or, you know, no matter how much you expect it to go through your palm, it won't. The difference is, if you did that check in a dream, it would always go through.
Yes.
Because usually what happens in a dream is when you expect something to happen, it does happen, usually. So that's really the idea. You need to, as you ask yourself the question, am I dreaming? you combine that with really trying to push your finger through your palm. And the idea is that you link those two things together, the critical question and the physical test of trying to push your finger through your palm. And when that happens, you know, if you do that 20 or 30 times a day, when that eventually happens in a dream, all it takes is one time, right? Mm. You're reminded of the question. You try and push your finger through your palm. The finger goes through the palm in the dream. And then you realize, oh, well, I must be dreaming because it would only go through in a dream.
And then the trigger's not to wake up in shock and excitement because you've just had a lucid dream.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's often, you know, as soon as they become lucid, they wake up, you know, after a few seconds.
I have to report at the moment that I've been pushing my finger through my palm as you've been talking, and I'm absolutely delighted that it's not going through, because if I was dreaming all this, we'd have to record the podcast all over again when I wake up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, that's for reality checks. That's how they work. There are loads of different reality checks you can do. I find the finger palm push to be the most effective, just because you can't really mistake it. You know, you're always going to feel the same resistance, and usually it's always going to go through in the dream. There are other ones you can do, like, for example, if you pinch your nose and then try and breathe through your nose. In a dream, you'll be able to breathe through your nose anyway, because you're not breathing air, just like in the Matrix. You know, it's not actually air you're breathing, it's just your subconscious interpretation or concept of air. So that's a good one to try. You can also look at text, because in a dream, if you look at text once and then you look away and look back at it, it will often be different, or it would have changed or scrambled. Mm. So really, there are loads of reality checks you could do. But as long as you do whichever one you choose to try and practice, as long as you do it 20 or 30 times a day, that's really going to give you the results and help you lucid dream.
So you're really suggesting that people be consistent, whichever type of reality check they pick, they just stick with that. They don't combine them all during the day, because that's going to sort of mess things up a bit.
Sort of, yes. Mm. Yes. I mean, obviously, if one reality check isn't working for some reason, then I would advise to try a different one. But yes, be consistent with one particular reality check for a set period of time. And then if it doesn't work after, say, 2 weeks, then switch to a different one and try that one only for 2 weeks, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So, and the fourth and last point I'd like to mention, really, is about sleep in general. I think in today's world, in today's society, sleep is not given as much credit or importance as it should do. It's very important. And I think, you know, sleep is a force multiplier. There are a lot of people trying to, you know, achieve loads of things in their life, and, you know, they're neglecting their sleep, which, you know, if they just slept better, it would make everything else a lot easier. Mm. So I think getting enough quality sleep is very important, not only for lucid dreaming, but for everything, really, for health, for your relationships, for whatever it is. It will help you in many areas of your life. And so the easiest way to do that is just to establish a rhythm or a pattern. And luckily, we have a pattern already coded into our biology, and that's the circadian rhythm. And what I mean by that, I'm not sure if you've spoken about the circadian rhythm in other podcasts, but I'm just going to briefly sort of go over it here. The circadian rhythm is the day and night cycle. So when the sun is up, it triggers certain hormones to be released in your body, which over time make you more tired. And then when the sun goes down, the idea is you get tired and want to fall asleep. It's a very simple sort of rhythm that's been controlling when people and animals go to sleep for many years. Mm. And really, people neglect that these days. You know, we watch films up until late at night. We look at our phone screens. And all the time we're doing this, it's stopping us properly producing melatonin, which helps us go to sleep. So an example would be someone's trying to lucid dream or sleep better in general. They're meditating, they're eating healthily, they're getting exercise in the day. But then at night, they're looking at their phone screen right up until 12 at night or 1 in the morning. And what that does, the blue light from the screen goes into your eyes and triggers your body to produce, you know, to stop producing melatonin, which makes you sleepy. So it keeps you awake and makes your sleep quality suffer. So in a nutshell, I would say just try and establish some sort of sleep rhythm where you wake up and go to sleep at roughly the same time every day. Ideally, you want to time it so that you're going to sleep, you know, 1 or 2 hours after the sun's gone down, and you're waking up either before or as the sun is rising. This is obviously more difficult depending where you live. If you live nearer the poles, obviously it's more difficult because of the longer or shorter days. But in general, as long as you sort of synchronize your rhythm with, you know, when the sun goes up and down, your sleep will be a lot better because it's coded into our DNA. So yeah, that's really the basics of how to lucid dream for a beginner. Obviously there are lots more things you could learn, different techniques, methods, but that's really the basics and all you need to know to start lucid dreaming.
I know, that's beautiful and so clearly put there, Stefan. And I think, you know, anybody that's really keen and excited to begin lucid dreaming can indeed follow those, as long as they can make way for that quality sleep time, which I totally agree with you as well. So maybe you can give us an idea now of the kind of benefits that you get from lucid dreaming once you start. Or you might want to actually begin with wowing our listeners with a spectacular lucid dream experience that you've had, and then maybe go from there into the kind of benefits that make it worthwhile than pursuing trying to have a lucid dream.
Yeah, sure. So I'll always remember the first real exciting lucid dream I had was one where I was flying. And, you know, flying is a very common dream. A lot of us have flying dreams even when they're not lucid, and you still wake up and feel amazing. Mm. But now if you imagine that you're in a normal dream and you've just become lucid, you're aware that you're dreaming, and you've just sort of become aware that there are no consequences in this dream world, you can do anything. And then you jump up in the air and start flying. You know, you're flying at an incredible speed. You're flying across mountains, over skyscrapers, and it all feels so real. You know, I don't know if your listeners, if you've ever been on a plane, right, and you know the feeling when a plane just takes off and that acceleration that you feel, I love that feeling of acceleration that you get. And that's pretty much what your brain simulates when you fly in a lucid dream. You get that rush of adrenaline, you feel excited, and you feel like you can do anything. You feel a surge of power just go through your whole body. And that's why that's my favorite dream, you know. Mm-hmm. I love flying, either lucid or not lucid, because it just gives you that feeling of freedom, that power. Mm. So yeah, I mean, that's my favorite lucid dream.
And something that you absolutely cannot do in what we believe to be waking life. So, you know, it really nails it. Yes, this is a lucid dream because I know that I can't do this while I'm awake. And yet you have that wonderful feeling of weightlessness and ease as well, don't you? It's not actually difficult to fly. It's extremely easy.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. The closest I got to simulating it in real life was I did a skydive, and that was absolutely amazing. I'd recommend that to anyone.
So the benefits, why should people, apart from the sheer joy of flying, list some of the, I know there are hundreds of benefits, but list some of the top ones to entice people.
Of course. Yeah. So as I said, flying is, I would say, more one of the more fun aspects of lucid dreaming. There are loads of practical things you can do with it as well. So as you said at the beginning, it is very much a blank slate. You can do anything with it. So, for example, you could use it to simulate real life experiences. If you have a job interview coming up, you can practice the job interview in a lucid dream and then wake up with the increased confidence to go into that interview.
Yes.
If you perform martial arts, for example, you can practice, and this is a really interesting one, you can actually practice your skills in a lucid dream and improve in real life. And this is, I can't remember the exact study, but this has been proven a couple of times. But the way this works is you need to practice, say, a physical skill in real life first, and then go over it again in a lucid dream. And the people that did that improved faster or you know, more than the people who just practiced in real life. So it gave people an edge over other people who weren't lucid dreaming. Mm-hmm. Then there are benefits like you feel slightly more refreshed when you wake up. You can interpret dreams in real time. And this is something I'd love to hear your opinion on as well, is you can directly interact with dream characters and symbols and ask them what they represent. So I'd say they're the sort of key benefits to lucid dreaming. You, obviously, the other one is you can experience anything you want, any sort of fantasies or dreams you'd want to reenact. If you wanted to climb Mount Everest, for example, you can do all of these things in a risk-free environment. So if you've ever been worried about doing, let's say, especially for people who are either disabled or, you know, can't physically do the things that they want to do, like climbing a mountain or skydiving or whatever it is, you know, you can experience these things in a lucid dream and it feels very real. You'll then wake up with, you know, increased confidence. You'll wake up with the beautiful memories, and it will all feel like you've actually had the experience.
Because you have. You have had the experience. It feels totally real at the time. You've absolutely had the experience. And it makes you question whether the experiences that you have in your so-called everyday waking life, in so-called reality, you know, well, you're absolutely having those as well. So it does make you sort of stand aside and go, but how real is this waking life? How real is this reality? Do you sometimes wonder if your dreaming life is just as real as your waking life?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are a number of ways we could go with this. It's a very, very interesting topic. I can't remember the exact quote, but the web series Anamnesis, I don't know if you've seen it, about lucid dreaming. One of the characters said, "Who's to say that this world is any more real or more important than any other?" Something like that. I can't remember the exact quote, but the basic idea is, you know, who's to say that a dream or a lucid dream isn't any less important than a waking life experience? Your brain doesn't know the difference.
Exactly.
Especially when you consider that you can improve by practicing things in a lucid dream.
Yes. That
just proves, again, that your brain doesn't know the difference. So you can have these experiences risk-free.
Absolutely wonderful. And thank you for that. And to bounce back on your question there of asking me how I feel about interacting with dream characters and symbols while you're lucid, absolutely, it's a fabulous opportunity. And it saves time, you know, rather than wake up and do all that in the morning, tick it off while you're in your sleep. Do you think to some extent that when you ask a dream character in a dream that you exert some control over what their response is going to be, or do you think you can make it completely objective?
Well, that's a very interesting point. That's a great question, actually. I think depending on how lucid you are and how much control you expect to have, you will have an impact on the dream characters to some degree. So, for example, if you really intended to make a dream character do something, in particular, they would usually do it. Whereas if you asked the dream to be spontaneous, and if you asked the dream character a question without expecting any certain answer, then that's when your subconscious mind would give you sort of the raw information. It would give you the true answer. But as you said, if you ask a dream character something like, "Will you run over there?" and you expect them to do it, usually they will. Whereas if you asked, say if a dog was chasing you in a dream, right? A lot of people are scared of dogs. If a dog's chasing you in a lucid dream, you can turn around to the dog and ask the dog itself, "What do you represent?" And the dog will give you an open-ended answer, which is basically your subconscious mind telling you why you have that fear and, you know, where it came from, which I find it all fascinating, really.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. Given that your rational mind isn't so tight that you then do edit what the dog says to you, which can occasionally happen, so you really do have to, I guess, practice being open. I really want to know what my unconscious mind is saying here, so I'm going to stay as the observer and I'm not going to interact or interfere with this.
That's the word I was looking for, yes. You need to stay as the observer. If you want to interpret the dream, that's exactly what you need to do.
The other tricky bit is that you stop the dream at the moment that you start to interact with the characters and symbols. You stop the dream from continuing to where it's going to go. So do you try to, when you do this yourself, Stefan, do you try to wait until the dream's almost at its conclusion and then start to interrogate the characters and symbols? Or do you find that you get sufficient rich wisdom and insight from it that it doesn't really matter?
Well, it's a bit of both, really. And this is what I would suggest to listeners who, you know, obviously are interested in dream interpretation and maybe lucid dreaming, is you should always have a balance, I think. Even to my students of lucid dreaming, I say that they should not lucid dream all the time, because I think it's important, as you say, to have these natural dreams where you're not in control. Because, as you said, you can interpret them better and you can let the dream run its course and then look back on it later and, you know, analyze the dream symbols and dream signs and what they mean. But that being said, I think it's also important to have a lucid dream. And let's say if a small chunk of the dream happened, like the dog chased you, I would say it's okay to stop it at that point, ask the dog what it represents, and then see where it goes from there, because it's very open-ended. Your subconscious mind will fill in the gaps and tell you what you need to hear. So I think it's important to have a balance of normal dreams that you wake up and then interpret later, and lucid dreams that you, I guess, you do interrupt them halfway, but then you can ask your subconscious direct questions.
Yes, I think it's lovely, like in the simple case of the dog chasing you, that what you can also do at that point by interrupting the dream, in a sense, is you find out what that dog represents, what fear it represents, or what you're running away from in life, or whatever it is. And at that moment, you can then change the ending of the dream. So you're actually doing the dream alchemy or the dream healing within the dream, rather than wait till you wake up in the morning, interpret the dream, think, how could I change the ending? How could I essentially reprogram my unconscious mind or rewire my brain? You do it all in the moment, in the dream. So that would be a plus there, do you think?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. But again, for both of these things, just wanted to reiterate, it's very important to write your dreams down. Otherwise, none of this is really possible if you can never remember them.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah. You've got to come back with the goods as well. So I love what you're saying about balance as well, because it's a very important thing that I'm often trying to stress to people as well, to try to have a balance between how much time you are prepared to lucid dream and allowing plenty of time for your dreams to run their natural course, even whether or not you remember your dreams. Because people that don't remember their dreams, I feel so sorry for them. They're missing so much. They miss out all the insight and they miss the adventures and everything. But there's still, you know, scientific evidence to say that the fact of the dreaming process itself is keeping us physiologically and emotionally well, whether or not we remember the dreams. So there's some element of letting the dream run its course, because it is of it's an important physiological check for us. It keeps us healthy. So what would be, I know we can't actually set, I'm only going to have this many lucid dreams in a week, because it doesn't work like that. But what would you say as a general sort of figure would be a good one for people that are interested in having lucid dreams to aim for? What kind of balance? How many dreams or how many nights in a week or a month?
Well, do you know what? I'm going to say something that might surprise you, and that is that I don't think you should try every night. I think one or maybe maximum two lucid dreams a week is enough for most people, because if you really have a lucid dream and you are actually lucid, it's so exciting that, you know, the memory of that is going to keep you going all week anyway.
Yes.
You know, usually, especially if you have a really profound lucid dream, you can be thinking about it for months afterwards. So I'd say, you know, aim for one a week and then go from there. If you really want to have more, then you can. If not, then that's a perfect balance anyway.
That's really fantastic advice, and it's so good to hear, because I do see and hear and read advice that really is much more encouraging to have, you know, to really go for a lot of lucid dreaming. And I think what you're saying there is so sensible and so enriching and beautiful. So thank you for that. So before we look at your dream, because I know that you've brought a dream for us to look at, would you like to share a story with our listeners about a dream where you have interpreted the dream within the dream, where you've examined a character or a symbol?
Yeah, well, I mean, the most simple example I can think of is the dog chasing me, because I have been, up until a few years ago, scared of dogs. And you know, I asked the dog in the lucid dream, I became lucid, I turned around and said, "Why are you chasing me? What do you represent?" That sort of thing. And I just heard a voice saying, "Well, it's because you were chased by a dog as a child." And obviously that's a very simple answer. And in a way, I sort of already knew that, but it just sort of confirmed it for me. And then I asked again, you know, why does this fear keep popping up now? You know, I'm a grown man. Mm. And apparently the dog just said, "Well, it's the fear of the unknown. You know, you're scared of change at a fundamental level." And from that point on, you know, I was able to look at my life in more detail and be more aware of it. And realized that, yes, at that point, I probably was scared of change. But then, you know, since then, I've been able to embrace change and sort of love it for what it is. And now I sort of welcome it. You know, it's exciting. It keeps things busy, you know, interesting and busy. And so now I'm not only not scared of dogs anymore, but I'm also not scared of change. So it sort of accomplished two things in one, really.
That's absolutely beautiful. And have you ever had a return of a dog dream, or has a dog come back in a different form?
No, since then I've certainly never had a nightmare about dogs or being chased. I can't actually remember the last nightmare I had. That's another point as well, is lucid dreaming does sort of remove nightmares from your life as well in a big way. But yeah, that was pretty much the last of the dog.
Would you like to expand on that last point before we go to your dream about how lucid dreaming tends to eradicate nightmares? Because I think there'd be a few ears pricked up and people quite excited about that.
Of course, to be honest, I can't remember. I can't believe I forgot to say that as one of the main benefits. Yeah. So the way it works is when, as you become lucid more and more often, especially after you've had your first lucid dream, you develop this sort of awareness within your subconscious mind, which enables you to trigger yourself to become lucid at certain points. So let's say if you always had a nightmare about the same thing, and that, well, I guess that would be your dream sign. Say if you always had a nightmare about the dog, right? Then you'd be able to tell yourself in waking life something like, whenever I see a dog, I will do a reality check. And if you make sure to use that as your trigger, so that throughout the whole day, in waking life I'm talking about now,
yes,
whenever you see dogs, you do a reality check. And what that means is that very, very quickly, because you always have that nightmare, the next time you have that nightmare, what will usually happen is you'll see the dog and you'll be triggered from the memory of all the reality checks to do a reality check. You'll see the dog, you'll ask yourself, am I dreaming? You'll realize you are dreaming. And from that second, from that split second, you become empowered. You're in control. You can tell the dog to go away, or you can, you know, run away yourself. You can do anything. But I find the most productive thing is just to ask the dog, what do you represent? Or tell the dog literally directly, just say, go away. And it will.
Absolutely.
And that's how you can avoid nightmares.
Absolutely beautiful, while finding out more about yourself and why you've had the nightmare as well at the same time, which is just lovely. Yeah. Okay, before we just go to your dream, I will be, people will know this if they've listened and paid attention at the beginning of the show and if they pay attention at the end of the show, but just while I've got you here, your website address is howtolucid.com. That's how to lucid, all one word.
Yeah, that's right. Howtolucid.com is my main website.
It's fabulous. I've been there, and I know that you've set up 2 redirects at the moment, because I've also watched a lot of your videos, which are great. And if you're listening and you want to watch Stefan's videos, go to howtolucid.com/YouTube, or one word. You'll get to the videos. And tell me a little bit about Bootcamp, because you've also got howtolucid.com/Bootcamp. What's Bootcamp?
Yeah, of course. So for those of you who are interested in learning more about lucid dreaming, what I've actually done is I've put together a 30-day sort of lucid dreaming obstacle course or boot camp. And what it does is it's very different to most ebooks. It takes you through a whole month and tells you exactly what to practice on each day of the month. One of the main flaws of ebooks and I think courses in general is they're great, but people fundamentally are lazy and don't usually take the steps that they need to take. Even though the information's there, I felt like they needed some sort of motivation to act. And that's why I've put this, it's a printable template you can, you know, stick on your fridge and cross off the days. And the idea is that it sort of guarantees your lucid dream within 20 days or you can get your money back. And so, yeah, as I said, you can find out more about that, read testimonials and everything on my site, howtolucid.com/bootcamp.
Brilliant. Excellent. I think you might have more than a few people coming over to check that out. Okay. We now move to your dream. You said, as usual with all guests on the show, I have no idea what the dream is. All I know is that you mentioned to me that it's quite short. So would you like to introduce your dream?
Of course. Yeah. So I'll start at the beginning. So just to clarify, this was not a lucid dream. This was a normal dream. So I started off the dream by sort of running through a forest, and I remember vividly seeing my arms in front of me sort of moving vines out of the way. And after a few minutes of that, I came into a clearing in the woods, and in the middle of this clearing, it was sort of like a light colored sand in a circle. There was a bright red foam box, really vivid foam box in the middle of this clearing. And I remember looking at it, and then I thought, oh, that's really strange. Why is that here? I looked away and then I heard it ringing. I heard this phone box ringing in the middle of nowhere. So I go over to the phone box, I open the door and I pick up the phone and I say, you know, who is this? What do you want? And there was just this deep voice that said, you need to go, or you need to travel. You need to go, basically. I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it was to the words of the effect that you need to go out and travel or go out and experience things. And then as soon as I heard that, the phone box disappeared and I was in a desert. And that's pretty much it. As I said, it's very short, very strange. But yeah, that's it.
So the forest changed into a desert, or you relocated?
The trees sort of shrunk down into the ground and disappeared.
How lovely. So it's interesting that you had the sand circle at the beginning. So it was kind of like a trace of sand, but then it became a whole desert later.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long ago was the dream?
Oh, it must have been about 2-3 years now.
Yeah. So when we look at a dream, we're always referring immediately to the 1 to 2 days before the dream, because of course the dream is processing your conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 1 to 2 days. And then while it's doing that processing, it's then looking back over anything that resonates with those experiences of the last 1 to 2 days, and then kind of projecting forward a little bit. So we're really getting that window into your mindset at the time of the dream. So of course, as we look at this dream, we're looking at where you were 2 to 3 years ago, and things may have changed back then, and you have no idea probably of what was happening in the 1 to 2 days before, but we'll see. So you started off by running in a forest, and what kind of feeling did the forest have? If the forest had a personality, what was its personality?
It felt like something that I was not something I was struggling with, but something I was enjoying moving through, if that made sense. It's I was enjoying the struggle of moving through the forest, as opposed to finding it difficult to cut down the vines. They moved away very easily.
Yeah.
It was very welcoming.
Welcoming, that's lovely. So often the very beginning of a dream will kind of set the situation that you're processing. You know, in life we have situations, and then we think, oh, how do I feel about this? Have I got a problem? Have I got an issue? How can I expand on this? So the very beginning of the dream can be that. So what you've described essentially there, because of course we're doing a very short interpretation, not spending a whole hour on it, because we purposed this show in a different way, but the beginning of the dream really suggests that in the 1 or 2 days beforehand, you were maybe moving through a situation that used to be more of a struggle for you, but you're welcoming it more, quite literally translating your words here, so that something that used to be struggling, you were suddenly feeling, hang on a minute, not only am I making sudden headway through this, but I'm actually enjoying this. Something I wouldn't have enjoyed before, I'm now actually beginning to not get my teeth into, but get my arms into. I'm getting in the swing of it. I'm running through this. This is feeling really good. And because of this, I arrive at a clearing. So there's a sense in the dream that the clearing is not only that there weren't trees there, but often in our dreams, there's a bit of wordplay happening, you know, and listening to you speak, you're so eloquent. And I think most writers or speakers do tend to have a lot of wordplay in their dreams. So to me, there's a sense of, and in the last day or two before I had this dream, I've suddenly become much clearer about something. Now, this clarity was probably not conscious at the time, because in the dream we're largely in the unconscious mind, but it's almost like I began to become clear of something. If you wake me up right now and ask me, I won't know what it is, but in a few days time I probably will. But in my dream I'm just recognizing I'm becoming quite clear on something. It's got something to do with this sand circle to begin with. So although the sand morphs into like the huge desert later, What did you feel when you looked at that sand? What kind of feeling did sand give you in the dream?
Relief.
Relief, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did it give you relief feeling?
I think, as you said, it was just sort of relief to be out of the forest and to be more aware of what was in the clearing. It was almost like I knew that there was something important in the phone box, but I didn't know what.
So it drew attention to the phone box because you had the red phone box against the sand. If you think of sand outside of the dream and you just think of sand in general, what do you associate with sand?
Relaxing, walking, freedom.
Freedom, yeah, lovely. Freedom and relaxation. And the good old beach as well. But just jumping at the end of the dream, the desert, did the desert give you that feeling too of relaxation and freedom? Or what was the feeling of the desert at the end?
Yeah, it was sort of relaxation and freedom, but also a profound sense of opportunity, like the feeling that I could go in any direction in that desert and it would be the right direction. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes perfect sense. I love it because, you know, when most people think of a desert, I'm going to put you on the outer here. When most people think of a desert, they probably think, oh, I'm stuck in the middle of a desert. I don't know which direction to go. You know, the dunes are shifting. Oh, give me some trees. Give me some guidelines here. And I love that you actually felt, and, you know, some people may just feel, I feel deserted. I feel left alone. I feel isolated. I'm hot. I'm thirsty. And I love that you had a completely different feeling about that.
Yeah.
Why do you think you had such a different feeling? Why do you think your unconscious mind pictured a desert as a place of relaxation and being able to move in any direction and freedom?
Do you know, I'm not entirely sure. I think if I really think hard about it, at the time, I was just about to leave a job that I didn't like and sort of go and try and pursue my own things. and obviously travel a bit more as well. So maybe it sort of represented the opportunity of being able to go anywhere.
Yes, and the opportunity to desert the job, even though we pronounce it differently, desert. To leave it all behind. Brilliant. So let's go back to the good old British red phone box in your dream. I guess it was a British red phone box. Just describing for our international listeners that our phone box is still red in Britain. I can't remember.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they are. That's right. So a red phone box is like the iconic public phone box out in the open, if you're English. So you had that. So obviously there's some sense, and it was ringing. So there was some unconscious part of yourself trying to get in contact and wake you up here. and luckily you had no resistance to it, did you? You know, it didn't turn into a dog you had to run away from, or you didn't think it was going to explode. It's like, yes, I have no issues with picking up this phone, which was wonderfully and open and clear again. And the deep voice would have been a part of yourself saying, you need to go travel and experience. So at some level, it was quite a easy to interpret message that the phone gave you. It didn't give you something complex and symbolic and cryptic. It just sort of said you need to go and travel. And at that point that you took on board that message, everything changed. The forest that kind of represented your prior struggles or challenges, as you say, just dissolved back into the ground, as if, you know, you didn't even need to do anything to solve them. They just disappeared, didn't they, once you heard that message?
Yeah, they did. I mean, the one thing I do remember very vividly is as soon as the voice said, you need to go, everything sort of shrunk down almost immediately. And it was like a very quick sort of, you need to go. And there was no chance for me to say, well, where do I go? Or how do I do it? Mm. It was very much instantly to the desert, as in like sort of figure it out on your own.
Brilliant. And there was no fear because it was so instant, and because you found the desert quite relaxing and it gave you that feeling of I could go in any direction. There was no fear. You were just delivered straight there.
Yeah, it was almost like I could, you know, I could do that instruction. I could go, but it doesn't matter where, as long as I go somewhere.
Do you think that on reflection, do you think you were beginning to come to that decision about the job at the time you had the dream? Or do you think the dream gave you the confidence or really triggered the realization that, hey, you could desert the job and leave the job and have more open range of directions and possibilities?
I was playing with the idea for a couple of weeks before the dream, actually. Mm. And then I made the final decision a few days after the dream. So, yeah, it was sort of right in the middle of that process.
And did your just out of interest, did your actual job involve phones or answering phones?
No, it didn't.
No, so that wasn't a hangover from that?
No, I think it was just a literally like a direct line to my subconscious.
Yeah. I love, you know, that... so many of our dreams, of course, end with, oh, you know, and I still couldn't solve the problem. It's unresolved. It's worrying, or I met a fear, or I don't know what to do, or it's just not working out. And then every now and then we have a dream like you had there, which is like, yes, the vines have disappeared. The forest is disappearing. Everything is completely changing. And all you have to go and do this. And here's the ending of your dream. And isn't it spectacular? Isn't it wonderful? And it's so lovely that, you know, what your dreaming mind was basically doing there was processing in advance of you really making the decision, was processing that you were, that you didn't have any blocks left to doing this, that you were ready to go. And it was kind of,
sure.
So what
I mean, some people say that when you're, you know, trying to make a decision in your mind, quite often you've already made it, but you just don't know it yet.
Yes.
So make it with that.
It does. And other times we can be struggling trying to make a decision and we don't know what our unconscious blocks are and why we're sabotaging ourselves. And those dreams can then bring up all that stuff. You know, another person might have had, I'm running through the forest. There's all these vines. I can't get through them. I'm stuck. I can hear a phone ringing in the distance, but I just can't quite get there, or I don't want to answer. And then you would look at all the details in the dream and be able to find out that person's unconscious blocks or reasons for not wanting to leave the job, or reasons for not wanting to move on in the adventure of life, or reasons for not wanting to feel comfortable with freedom. And those dreams are valuable and wonderful too, because once you understand those things about yourself, there are things that you can do to reprogram those unconscious limiting beliefs or blocks, or rewire the brain and, you know, be able to move on in life and get to your wonderful, promising desert because you've been able to work those out. But isn't it wonderful that every now and then you just get the dream that goes, yes, yes, listen to this. Listen to this bright red phone call. Yeah. So what happened? Was it when you did leave the job and enter the metaphorical desert, how long did it take you to find the direction that you're in now?
Well, I mean, I was already sort of doing basic lucid dreaming things in the background anyway. I had the website, I think I still had my YouTube channel at the time as well. So really it was just a case of just doing more of that. And it's gone very well, and traveling around.
So you did incorporate the travel aspect of it as well. You didn't do the virtual travel of sitting behind your website and letting people come to you and study with you. You actually physically have been geographically traveling.
Yeah, I physically moved around the world and also carried on doing the website. So, yeah, a bit of both.
So it gave you total freedom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, look, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I've so loved. And as I say, normally we spend an hour on a dream and we just dipped in and dipped out. But it was a beautiful dream to bring to the show. And I know that all our listeners are going to be very excited. You know, people that already have had lucid dreaming experiences can understand by listening to you speak that you've got so much more to offer them as well. And people that haven't had lucid dreams or have been slightly concerned or worried or fearful of going there, I think we'll feel more confident now that they can see the rewards of doing it just once a week. So
yeah,
is there anything else that you would like to say while you're still here before we say goodbye?
Just, you know, practice the things I said, have fun with it, and show love to everyone. Be happy.
That's beautiful. Show love to everyone and be happy. No, what better message could there be? Thank you so much, for Stefan.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
That was absolutely fascinating, wasn't it? And I'm sure if you haven't had a lucid dream, you'll be really very keen to have at least one from now on and be following those tips. And if you have had lucid dream or you're a regular lucid dreamer, there's probably something that Stefan said there or something that he can offer you if you go to his sites that will move you up to the next level. Why not? Just to go over the website addresses again, mindjaneteresa.com, Stefan's howtolucid.com, and either /bootcamp if you're interested in his courses, or /YouTube if you just want to absorb more of him. I am, as you know, most of our shows involve having a guest. So if you'd like to be a guest on the show, remember that most of our guests come on confidentially and anonymously. So just because I've given Stefan's name, and because I often will give a guest name and a link to their website, that will be when the guest has said, look, I want to come on the show and I'm really happy to share my details, then we will certainly do that. If that's you, that's great. Put your hand up, volunteer, be a guest. But just reminding you that the general format of our show really is that you can come on totally anonymously as a guest. Bring your dream on. I don't know what your dream is going to be before we start recording. And then we spend the whole hour, conventionally spend the whole hour, just looking at your dream, finding out what it means, how it relates to your life, sometimes doing some dream alchemy, and then hearing back from you about what you think about the interpretation, how it does relate, what the insight means to you, where you're going to take it from there. So if this is the first podcast you've listened to, go back and listen to some of our others where we do have a guest on for the whole hour, just to get the feel of that. And if you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show yourself, go to janeteresa.com, go to the menu, go to podcasts. In the drop-down box, you'll find out how to be a guest on the show. Also, just before you go, we have had a couple of interesting guests on, like Stefan recently. So if you have an idea for a subject that you think is relevant to the Dream Show and relevant to our listeners that you would like to see covered, drop me an email and ask me and I'll find someone. Or if you're sitting there and you're thinking, actually, I think I've got something valuable to contribute to the Dream Show and I would love to be interviewed and come on the show, and I'd bring a little dream as well to talk about, then please get in contact with me too. Have a wonderful month. The next episode of the Dream Show, episode 204, will be out on the 25th of May 2018 if you're listening to this in real time. Have a wonderful month. I'll speak with you then. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.